Welcome to The Gathering. I'm lead pastor Matt Miofsky, and I'm really glad that you're tuning in to listen to today's message. Before we get into it, I just want to remind you, you may be listening to this as you're walking or driving in your car. That doesn't mean that we can't connect. If you text this phone number, 314-451-2090, again, that's 314-451-2090, I'll get back to you and offer you some ways to connect to our church. Part of that will be for me to give you an invitation to Next. I love this event. Once a month, I host Next, and it's just a time for me to share a little bit more about the story of the church, for us to get to know each other, for me to answer any questions. I do it both live, in person, and virtual, so you can join wherever you live. So I really hope that you'll text that number. I'll make sure that you get that invitation. Now, as we jump into today's sermon, don't forget to like this, subscribe to it, review it if you are listening to this on a podcast, share it with someone that you think would be interested. Anytime that you engage with us that way, it just helps us to get the word out about what we're doing. Now let me pray for you as we get into the message. Holy God, wherever we are today, whatever we're going through today, we believe you have a word for us, that you have something that you want us to hear. So open our ears, open our hearts, that we may hear from you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, everyone. My name is Matt Fulmer. I'm one of the pastors here at The Gathering, and thanks so much for tuning in today. And if this is your first time checking us out, thanks for being a part of The Gathering. I hope that the message today is meaningful for you, it resonates with you, and gives you something to think about. So just recently, I got back from taking some time away from work. My wife, Ricky, and I took our two kids on a road trip. We have Esther, who's 8 months old, and Elio, who's 3.5. So yes, we took an infant and a toddler on a road trip during a pandemic. Sometimes I think we're a glutton for punishment, but it was a ton of fun. I mean, we spent a little time in Indiana, but most of our time up in Michigan, and each day we had a plan. And I thought the plan was awesome. We did a lot of fun things. We spent time at a beach, some time at a pool. We found a swing set over the water, Lake Michigan in Traverse City. We rolled down huge sand dunes. We built sand castles, went on hikes, went to cool restaurants. Every day was filled with kind of a great plan, and we did some really fun things. And everybody enjoyed it, except maybe Esther, who's our 8-month-old, and she's pretty clueless and has no idea what's going on around her, but what can you expect? Anyway, even though we had a ton of fun each and every day, almost every morning, Elio, our 3.5-year-old, did not want to go do the thing that we had planned that day. Instead, he just wanted to go do what we did yesterday, the previous day. It didn't matter how fun the plan sounded or what we were going to go do. He simply wanted to go do the thing we did the day before because he knew he liked that. He knew that he was going to have fun doing that thing. And more times than not, this would devolve or erupt into tears and frustration from Elio. And so Ricky, full of patience, would bend down and say something like this: "Elio, remember how yesterday you didn't want to go do that fun thing we did? But then once you got there, you loved it. Well, today it's going to be the same way, man. Just trust me. You're going to love what we have planned for you today. You just have to trust me." And when I think about that moment, Ricky bending down to Elio, saying, "Just trust me," I think about how that's often what I need to do in my own faith life. I mean, I need to be able to trust God more. I mean, you can read the entire Bible, all of Scripture, as one big message from God to us saying, "Hey, y'all, trust me more." And I need that. Because when I think about how I'm personally doing, man, I'm struggling. I mean, I'm not sure if I want to go the direction we're headed in this season, collectively, sometimes individually, but my faith sort of whispers in my ear, "Trust me. Trust me." But how? How can we trust God during difficult seasons in our lives? See, today we're continuing this sermon series called Disrupted, Living in Exile. And we've been walking through the story of Babylon conquering the Jewish people and taking them to live as slaves in a foreign land. And while living in this foreign land, the Jewish people in exile write to Jeremiah, this prophet who's still in Jerusalem, asking them, hey, Jeremiah, how long are we going to have to stay in Babylon and be slaves? And Jeremiah writes a letter back saying, oh, it's going to be a long, long time. But that's only the first part of the letter, the part of the letter that we looked at last week. And today we're going to take a turn and look at the second part of the letter, a part which contains really the most famous passage in the book of Jeremiah and one of the more famous passages in all of Scripture. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29, and we're going to start in verse 10. If you have your Bibles or you know, maybe you could pull out your phone and pull up the Scripture, I'm going to be in Jeremiah chapter 29, starting in verse 10, it goes like this. It says, "The Lord proclaims, when Babylon's 70 years are up, I will come and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. See, I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with all your heart, you will find me. I will be present for you, declares the Lord, and I will end your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have scattered you, and I will bring you home after your long exile, declares the Lord." Okay, so here are these Jewish people in exile, and they're seeing all the heaviness around them, the war, the destruction, the exile, the slavery. All they are looking for is some glimmer of hope. They have all the evidence all around them that there is no hope. They're even asking, where is God in this? Is God even listening? And Jeremiah responds by giving them some hope. But how does Jeremiah give them hope? Jeremiah is offering them hope by giving them clues on how to trust God, trusting God even in a dark season. See, they're asking, is God listening? And Jeremiah says, yes, God is listening. God, keep praying because God hears your prayers. They are asking, is God around? Where is God? And Jeremiah says, yes, God is around. God is with you. When you search for God, you will find God. In fact, God is present even when you don't sense it. Even in all the darkness, God is there. See, God never promised the Jewish people that life would be easy without struggle. Instead, God says when struggle comes, when darkness descends, God promises the Jewish people that God is working in the midst of that struggle. And what is God working towards? God is working towards giving them a future with hope. And God asks them to trust that God is working for that future, even in a heavy, dark season, even when they can't sense or see God, that God is listening and God is with them. God says, trust. See, for us, during a time that is also very heavy, God is asking us to trust that even when we can't sense or see God, that God is listening and that God is with us. Now, I know it's relatively easy to trust God when things are good, but it's an entirely different ballgame to trust God when things are hard. And right now, man, things are hard. So when I first wrote this sermon, I had a long kind of laundry list of the things that pointed to how hard this season was, but I was reminded that you don't need to be told that this season is heavy. You know the struggle. All you have to do is maybe open the window, turn on the news, talk to somebody, or just think about what you're personally carrying and what you're personally struggling with. The struggle is obvious. It's there. What's not obvious is the reason to hope. I mean, is there a reason to hope in such a dark season? And maybe you're like me, like the Israelites, and wondering, where is God in all of this? I don't really like the direction we're going. It's hard to see God doing much around us. And sometimes I wonder, man, is God even listening? Where's the hope in this season? Friends, that's why we need this letter from Jeremiah. See, when we're wondering if God is listening, Jeremiah challenges us to keep praying to God, to keep reaching out to God, even though we may not feel motivated, that we need to keep talking to God, even when we don't feel like we're hearing anything, because in the end, God is listening to us. When we're asking, where is God in all of this? Jeremiah reminds us that God is present with us. Even when we can't sense God's presence, even when we feel alone, that God is still there. And Jeremiah encourages us to keep seeking God because God is with you right now in this struggle. You see, one of the ways we get through these rock bottom seasons, when there's not an immediate reason to hope around us, is by trusting that God is still with us, even when we can't hear or sense God. But that question remains, how? How do we learn to trust when this promise, this plan of peace and hope seems so far away, or the promise so unbelievable? How do we trust when our current reality seems so dark and no light shining through? How can we learn to trust when God seems so far away? How? Do you remember that story I started with? The one with Elio and us on vacation, Elio having a hard time trusting that we were going to do, he was going to love, and in the middle of those fits and frustrations, Ricky would say, remember. Remember what we did yesterday and how you loved it? See, if you remember, you'll be able to trust me. So how can we learn to trust God during hard seasons? By remembering. So I have a question for you. Can you remember a time when God was faithful to you? And that's not a rhetorical question. I want you to actually think about it. When was a time that you thought maybe you weren't going to make it through a season, but looking back, you saw God was there? Think about a time when you felt hopeless and God helped you navigate and come to a place of hope. Think back and remember when God was with you, even though you might not have sensed God's presence. And I'm going to pause because I really want you to think about it and remember. So thousands of years before Jeremiah wrote this letter to the exiles in Babylon, the Israelites were in another predicament, and God delivered them. And after God delivered them, God had them build an altar, basically a large, strange stack of rocks, and they called it an Ebenezer. Maybe you've heard of this term before. And God had them build this Ebenezer so future generations would walk by and say, hey, what's that all about? And then they would get the opportunity to tell the story of how God delivered them. It was a way to remember that the God that delivered them in the past is the same God working with them and alongside of them in whatever they're up against now. Maybe today you need an Ebenezer. Maybe you need an Ebenezer to help you remember, a physical or a visual reminder so that you can remember what God has done for you in the past to give you hope in the present. Maybe it's a picture or a cross or a rock, something you put on your keychain, but it helps you remember that the one who delivered you then is the same God who is with you now. And that same God is listening. That same God is present. And that same God is with you in whatever you're struggling with now. Friends, we build our trust by remembering. By remembering what God has brought us through in the past And you remember all of that so that you can trust that that God, that same God, is doing the same thing now. That God is with you in this very moment. And embrace these words from Jeremiah, remembering what God has done and trusting this promise. I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with your whole heart, you will find me. Let's pray. God, you know all too well that this season is hard, that many of us are carrying burdens that we never thought that we could carry, but we're trudging along, looking for reasons to hope. So God, remind us that you're the God that delivered the Israelites, you're the God that rose Jesus from the dead, and you're the God who delivered us from things that we've dealt with in our past. So God, in this moment, help us remember. Help us to not grow weary of praying, and help us to trust you so that we can have those glimmers of hope, knowing that you are offering us a future, not with disaster, but a plan with peace to give us a future filled with hope. It's in Jesus' powerful name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in, listening to today's message. Don't forget you can connect 314-451-2090. Just text your name and we'll make sure to connect with you. Also, if you want to support the ministry of The Gathering financially, I hope you'll consider giving. You can give on our website, that's gatheringnow.org, or through our app. And to find our app, you can just search Gathering STL in any app store. Help us get the word out. Don't forget to like this, subscribe. You can review us. Also, just share this message with anyone that you think might benefit from hearing it. And now as you go, let me just offer you a blessing. As you go today, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit fill your life today and the days ahead. Go in power and peace. Amen.